Luke chapter 11, we read in connection with Lord's Day 45, the introductory Lord's Day on prayer in the Heidelberg Catechism. We'll read together the first 26 verses of the chapter. The Word of God at Luke 11, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." We'll read the chapter that far. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. We read that in connection with Lord's Day 45 on prayer. Obviously, the beginning of that chapter dealt with Jesus' instruction concerning prayer. Now let's read the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, questions 116 through 119. Question 116 asks, "Why is prayer necessary for Christians?" "Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them." What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God, and which He will hear. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118, what hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119, what are the words of that prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin this morning the last part of the Heidelberg Catechism, the section on prayer. This last part of the Catechism on prayer is found in the third main section of the Catechism on gratitude. Whenever we go through the Heidelberg Catechism, we always need to be reminded of the main purpose of the Catechism and the main layout of the Catechism. The main purpose of the Catechism is to set forth before us the glorious truth that we as believers have the greatest comfort in all of the world, and that comfort is that in body and in soul, both in life and in death, we belong to Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the Catechism is to show to us how we experience that wonderful comfort of belonging to Jesus. To do that, it lays out three main points. The first is that we need to know our sin and misery. The second is that we need to know how we are delivered. And the third is that we need to know how to show thanks. And we come to the end of that final third section of the Catechism on gratitude. But we understand this point in the context of the main point of the Catechism, which is the comfort of belonging to Jesus. We can't experience that comfort of belonging to Jesus unless we are thankful. We must be thankful. And we learned already in our treatment of the Ten Commandments that that's one way that we show that we are thankful. We read, we study, we strive to live according to the Ten Commandments of God's law. This is the other way. We pray. We pray to God, and in praying to God, we are showing to Him that we are a thankful people. The Catechism in Lord's Day 45 sets before us the main theme of the necessity of prayer, why we as Christians must pray. So we look at that main idea this morning, the necessity of prayer. We notice in the first place, to show gratitude to God. That's the first point that the Catechism makes. In the second place, we look at to receive the blessings of God. That's the second main point that the Catechism makes in the answer to question 116. We pray in order through that prayer to receive the blessings of God. And then in the third place, we'll consider an acceptable prayer, the prayer that God hears and that God answers. And that's the content of question and answer 117. We're taking up this morning, then, a treatment of the subject of prayer. The main point this morning will be an answer to the question of why we must pray. But before we do that, we should say some things about prayer itself, what prayer is, and how it is possible for us as believers, in fact, to pray. Prayer, beloved, is holy speech with God. The essence of prayer is communication. Talking. And prayer, very simply, is consciously entering into the presence of God and speaking to Him. Prayer then is a covenantal activity. The covenant is the relationship of friendship that God has with us. We are able to call God our friends, and that's what we learn in Luke chapter 11 with what Jesus teaches right after He sets forth the truth of the Lord's Prayer itself. We learn there that God is our friend. And if God is our friend, we do with God what friends do, and that is speak to each other. God speaks to us. He's doing that right now in the preaching of the gospel. He does that with His Word. And prayer, when it comes down to it, in its simplest explanation, is our, in return, speaking to God. Prayer makes the doctrine of God's covenant real and practical to us. There is nothing that makes that glorious truth more real in our lives than the activity of prayer. And when we consciously enter into God's presence, we are speaking to the one who is our friend. Friend sovereign, yes, but the one whom we call our friend. Prayer, therefore, is a miracle. Last week we talked about the miracle of Jesus raising the son of the widow of Nain from the dead. In the course of that sermon, I made the point that God does not perform those types of miracles anymore, but it's not entirely true. There are things that are miraculous that we are able to do and that we experience, things beyond our comprehension, really. Prayer is one of them. The fact that we pray, are able to pray, is the wonder of wonders. Think about this, beloved. We who are finite creatures of this earth, and on top of that, sinners, are able consciously to enter into the presence of the infinite, eternal, omnipotent, holy God who has created all things and created us. We're able to speak to Him. We're able to speak to Him knowing that when we speak to Him, that God actually hears, actually listens, and actually, when we pray according to His will, answers our prayer. That's a miracle. That's amazing. That's something that we need to believe by faith that is taking place when we pray. It's not always our experience, is it? When we're struggling with prayer, we wonder if the prayer that we are offering makes it to God. That's when we come back to this. By faith, we believe this truth that, as we'll see in a moment, in Jesus Christ, we have a right to go before God. And when we pray in Jesus' name, God hears us. He truly does. As the omnipotent and omnipresent and eternal God of all things. Prayer is, therefore, only in and through Jesus Christ. That truly is the wonder of wonders, that God has given us Jesus Christ. And that is why we are able to pray, and why God, when we pray, hears and answers our prayers. It's only because of Jesus. When we are describing prayer, as we're doing for a few minutes at the beginning of this sermon, as we begin this treatment in Lord's Day 45, we can't talk about prayer without emphasizing the work of Jesus Christ in prayer. Very simply, prayer is impossible without Jesus. It would be impossible for us to go before God and pray without the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our mediator. A mediator is a go-between. A mediator is one who stands in between two parties, and the work of that mediator is to bring those two together. And that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did. There's something that stands between us and God that makes us approaching Him in prayer impossible, and that is sin and guilt. The work of Jesus Christ as mediator is such that He removes that through His death on the cross. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." One mediator between God and us. There's one way to have access to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He did what no other man is able to do. We can learn a lot from a man like Moses in the Old Testament. Moses in the Old Testament is the outstanding type of Jesus Christ as mediator. He was the one who stood between the children of Israel and God, and he was the one who brought their needs before God. But in the end, beloved, what we learn about Moses is the need for Christ. Moses could not do as mediator what the children of Israel really needed when it came down to it. He could say to God, "God, blot my name out. And through blotting my name out, save this sinful people." But he couldn't do that. He couldn't give for those people what they really needed in order to be brought to God. He was but a type of the man that could, who was also God, and that was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through His perfect righteousness on this earth and His perfect death on the cross, gives us the right as His children to have access to God. We are righteous in Christ, and therefore, through Jesus, we go to God in prayer. John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Verses 13 and 14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus continues to act as mediator in the prayers that we offer right now. He's in heaven, and part of the work that He does is intercede on our behalf when we pray. And we'll have opportunity, the Lord willing, in the next sermon when we consider our petition, "Our Father which art in heaven," to consider more in depth the work of Jesus in the prayers that we offer to Him. But now, generally speaking, as we introduce the subject of prayer, we take note of this fundamental truth that it is only because of Jesus and His work on the cross that we as His children can do this, go to Him and speak to Him in prayer. Heidelberg Catechism in this Lord's Day explains the necessity of prayer. Why must Christians pray? The first reason we must pray, the Catechism says, is because prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness to God. Before I get into that, I want to parenthetically give another reason. It's not stated explicitly in the Heidelberg Catechism, but something as we think about prayer is important for us to remember. We need to pray as Christians because prayer is what God gives us so that our mind and our thoughts continually are directed to God. This isn't stated explicitly, but I want us to always remember this as we think about prayer, and as we will do in the next couple of months in the Heidelberg Catechism. Prayer is an activity that God gives us as His children so that in the midst of our lives here on this earth, there is something that we can do, as the psalmist says, in the morning, noon, and evening, that direct our thoughts heavenward to God. And we need to do that, because we know how easily it is for us in our lives to have our thoughts directed down here on this earth. We're busy. We have things to do. We've all had the experiences of going throughout a very busy day, and then we get to that end of the day and we realize that not even once did I think about God and the things that really matter in my life here on this earth. We've got work to do. We've got appointments to make. We've got games and practices to bring the children to. And all of that can snuff out of our lives prayer and therefore thoughts that are directed heavenward. God gives prayer so that as His children, at any time, we can engage in this activity so that as Christians, all throughout the day, we can have things that bring us back to God. For that reason, we need to pray. We need to develop in our lives the habits of prayer so that we truly do pray. We don't just say, I'm going to pray. We don't just hear sermons about prayer. But we develop in our lives habits that develop a good prayer life. And that's one of the reasons the devil tempts us with our busyness. He tempts us by busyness so that the things that matter most, one of which is prayer, get snuffed out of our lives. And no longer are we thinking heavenward in our life here on this earth. Not the main reason, but something that's important when we think about prayer. The Catechism gives two main reasons we must pray. The first is that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. Beloved, are you thankful? Are you thankful for the truth of the Catechism as it's been developed thus far, that I know my sin and misery, and I know what that sin and misery deserves, which is death. But God, in His grace, has delivered me through the work of Jesus Christ from that sin and death. So that right now, we have life with God, and in an age to come, we'll have life with God in Jesus forever. Are you thankful? If you are, if I am, we will pray. The Catechism emphasizes the fact that prayer itself is the expression of thanks to God. That over against the idea that prayer allows us to say thank you to God. That's part of it. That when we pray, we have an opportunity in that prayer to explicitly say to God thanks for everything He has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's more basic than that. The point of the Catechism is that prayer, the activity itself, is the expression of thanks to God. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? The answer is because prayer, is the chief part of thanks. It's not because in prayer I have the opportunity to express to God thanks. Prayer as an activity is thankfulness to God, no matter what the type of petition it is. Petitions of adoration and praise, petitions of thanks itself, petitions of confession, petitions of supplication, all of them put together in the activity of prayer is the expression of thanks to God. It's something that we can understand from our own experiences with each other. A husband and a wife are called to be thankful for each other to God. One of the ways that you express that is by saying it in so many words. A husband says to his wife, I'm thankful to God for you. I'm thankful for your love for me. I'm thankful for your concern for me. Explicit words that express thanks to God for your spouse. But in addition to that, what truly shows that you are thankful for your spouse? It's not a word here or there to them, and then you're off on your own doing your own things the rest of the time. If you're truly thankful for that person, what you're going to do is you're going to go to that person and you're going to spend time with that person and you're going to commune with that person because they're important to you. You're going to find the time. You're going to take the time. You're going to make the time to be with them because you're thankful for them. It's true in prayer as well. Prayer is our communing with God. Prayer is the covenant come into expression in our everyday life. If we're truly thankful for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we're not just going to say it to Him, but we're going to want to spend time with Him. We're going to find the time. We're going to make the time, because that's what it amounts to for us, so that we spend time in fellowship with God. And the way in which we spend time in fellowship with God chiefly is through prayer. I come back to the question, beloved, are you thankful? Are you truly thankful for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? If it means something to you, understanding what God has done, you're going to go to Him, and you're going to commune with Him, and you're going to fellowship with Him here in worship together as the body of Christ, but you're going to do that in your everyday life by going to Him in prayer. So that you can say it explicitly, but also more generally, so that you can fellowship with the triune God through Jesus Christ. And beloved, if you struggle to pray, as we sometimes do in our lives, but you understand this truth, that I must be thankful, and I must fellowship with God, then you're going to go to someone, and you're going to say to that someone, help me pray. Pray with me. So through that, by faith, I can know that I am communing with God in prayer. Prayer itself is the expression that we are thankful to God in Jesus Christ. There's more to it, though, than that. Prayer is the expression of thanks because it's required by God. And that which is required by God, when we do it, shows that we are thankful to God. Don't lose sight of that when we think about prayer. Prayer, when God speaks about it to us, is not a suggestion, do this. Prayer is a command. And there are passages in the Word of God that make that clear. We can look at the parallel passage to Luke 11 that teaches us about the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 and 8. This is just another example of a verse that we'll look at later from Luke 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. But notice there, ask. It's not a suggestion. Do this, Jesus says in these passages. Another example is found in the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, and so forth. It's an exhortation to prayer, and prayer specifically for that. Luke 18, verse 1, a parable of Jesus, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The point is that God demands that we pray. And when we do that which God commands us to do, we are by that showing our thanks to God. The first reason we are to pray according to the Catechism is that through prayer we show thanks to God. The Catechism gives a second reason. The second reason it is necessary for us to pray is that God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. We pray because through prayer God is pleased to give to us His grace and Holy Spirit. That's the truth from Matthew that I just read, and now I'll read it from Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and then 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" We must pray because through prayer, God gives us His grace and Holy Spirit. Notice that that's what we are asking for. Catechism says His grace and Holy Spirit. Let's make sure we understand what this is not referring to. This is not referring to the initial work of God to give us grace and to give us His Holy Spirit. God is not saying, and we must not go to the world and say, "Pray so that through prayer, God for the first time will give you His Holy Spirit and the blessings of salvation that go along with that." That cannot be the meaning, because it is impossible to pray prior to the work of the Spirit being planted in us by God. That's regeneration, when God works the Holy Spirit and with that all of His blessings for the first time. That's entirely a work of God in His sovereignty, understanding our total depravity by nature. So the Catechism is not saying, when it says He gives His grace and Holy Spirit to those that ask of Him, it's not saying there that that's the first work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The reference here is to the fact that as believers, there is a constant influx of the blessings of God, His free, unmerited gifts of grace that are worked in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 tells us that God is a God of blessing who blesses us with all spiritual blessings. That's not a one-time act for us. That's something we experience all our life long, and we need to experience all our life long. We constantly are in need of the blessings of God, the free, unmerited gifts of grace that He gives us through the work of the Spirit in our hearts and in our souls. God says, with respect to those blessings, "Ask, and I will give to you the Holy Spirit." Beloved, these are our greatest needs in our life on this earth. Our greatest need is for the grace and Holy Spirit of God. Our greatest need is for that every single day because of our sin. Every day, we understand the weight of our sin that bears down upon us and the guilt of that sin and the knowledge of what that sin deserves as we stand before a holy God and a just God. It's not something that we experience a couple days out of the week, a couple months out of the year. That's every day for us. And therefore, every single day we need that which lifts the burden of that sin off of our back and gives us the peace of soul and consciousness that we need. And that is the grace and the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit working in our consciences and our souls, the knowledge of the free and unmerited gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that goes along with that through His death and resurrection. And then we think about, on top of that, all of the circumstances we face in our lives, the struggles and the burdens, the fires and the waters that are particularly hot, and the waters that are particularly rough with the waves that come crashing over us time and time again, that mountain, it seems as though it's impossible to climb. There's no path even to go up it. It's a sheer cliff. I can't go over this mountain that I'm facing. Things like death, some of us have experienced in the past few weeks. Things like sickness, that some of us have to deal with every single day. Things like struggles in relationships, the burden of loneliness, the mountain of financial struggle, wondering if we're going to make it day by day. The especially hard burden of a wayward son or a wayward daughter or a friend And the list goes on and on. All of that we experience in our lives. What do we need at those times? What we don't need is the opposite. That's not what we pray for. We don't pray that someone comes back to life. We don't pray necessarily that we have riches in this life. We don't pray that the disease or sickness particularly is taken away necessarily. What we pray for is this: God, give me Thy grace and Thy Holy Spirit so that in response to the struggles of this life, I still go forward in a godly way. I'm not going to go forward perfectly. I know that. I'm a sinner. But don't let this struggle lead me into a trajectory of sin and destruction. But help me, O God, by Thy grace and Holy Spirit, to walk through this fire and water in a way that brings glory to Thy name. Everything comes down to the need for the grace and Holy Spirit of God. And the point of the catechism, and the point of Luke chapter 11, is that in the way of asking, God gives us what we need. It has everything to do with the way in which God deals with us. We're not robots going through these experiences so that in a robotic way we receive these things that we need. We're rational, we're moral creatures, we feel and we experience all of these things that I've been talking about. We understand sin and the guilt that goes along with it. You know what it feels like to lose a loved one. You know what it feels like to go through that struggle. And in keeping with that, the way in which we experience these realities, God says, I give to you these things in the way of asking. Because in the way of asking, you're saying something by that. When you ask, what you are acknowledging is that I can't go through this alone. I know exactly what I am going through. I'm facing it head on. And I can't do it by myself. That's what asking does. Anytime you ask for something, you're saying something by that asking. You're saying, I don't have it. You do, and I need it from you. And now we're talking about the things that matter most in our lives. Sin and all of those burdens. By asking, we are humbly going before God. And by means of asking, we are saying, I can't do it. Think about our sin. Can't do anything to remove the burden of my sin. All I do is make mountain upon mountain of sin that adds to what I already have. Go to God in prayer, and when you ask, you're saying, God, you are the only one in Jesus Christ that can remove that burden and remove the guilt that I feel and that I have. Look at all of those struggles that I'm talking about. When you're going through them, and when you ask, God, give me Thy grace and Thy Spirit, you're saying, I can't climb the mountain by myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, in keeping with that, and in the way of acknowledging our need for God, in the way of asking, God, through that, is pleased to give us what we stand in need of. Think about the opposite. Think about what we're saying if we don't ask. If we don't ask, what we're saying is we don't need God. If we're not asking God daily for forgiveness and for the removal of that guilt, what we're saying by that is I don't need Him. If we're not asking, that's the implication. If you're going through a trial in your life right now and you're not asking, you're not going to God in prayer, what you're saying is, I can get through this on my own. And now you ask the question, is God going to give you, through that experience, His grace and His Holy Spirit so that you experience it and through that are able to go through what you are going through? The answer to that is no. Prayer and asking is what God is pleased to use in our lives so that through that He is pleased to give us what we stand in need of. So the application, beloved, is very simple. Pray. Pray. Pray to show your thanks. Pray because God alone is able to supply the needs that you have in your life on this earth. Understanding the significance of prayer, and also this, by the way, I should have made this point with respect to what I was just talking about. God gives us through asking what we stand in need of because He's our God and He's our Father who loves us. That's the point of verse 13 in light of what He just said with that example of giving children what we stand in need of. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? We ask because in the way of asking, we're asking our Father who loves us in Jesus Christ and promises out of His love for us to give us what we need in our lives. Beloved, understanding the importance of prayer and what God uses prayer for, we want to make sure that when we pray, we are praying in such a way that God hears and God will answer that prayer. So we need to not just pray, but we need to pray in the right way. And that's the point of the question and answer 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which God will hear and answer? And now we understand the importance of that. We want our prayers to do what God uses them for, to show gratitude and to receive what God is pleased to give us. So we want to pray in the right way. Catechism says three things. Three things must be true of every prayer so that it will be a prayer that God hears and answers. Number one, we need to pray to the true God for that which He has commanded us to pray for. First, that we pray from the heart to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word for all things He had commanded us to ask of Him. We need to pray to the true God, the one and only God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of the Christian faith, the God of the Scriptures. We need to pray for that which He has commanded us to ask of Him. And that's the importance of our treatment of the Heidelberg Catechism. We are going to learn what constitutes a proper prayer. And that's why Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. In those six petitions, we have encompassed for us all of the things that we are commanded to pray for when we go to God in prayer. So it's important for us to hear these sermons and to learn about the content of the prayers, lest we pray for the wrong things, and lest, therefore, our prayers are not heard by God. Second thing the Catechism says that constitutes a true prayer is that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. God hears a humble prayer. A humble prayer is one that understands who we are as sinners. A humble prayer is one that understands who God is that we are going to in prayer. God does not hear the proud prayer of the Pharisee. God hears the humble prayer of the publican. God be merciful to me. Pray humbly, knowing yourself and knowing God. The third requisite of a prayer that's acceptable to God is that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. In other words, beloved, God hears a confident prayer. Confidence, boldness, closely associated with that, and humility are not against each other. Number 2 and 3 here are not opposed to each other. We can be humble and we can be confident at the exact same time. And the Catechism says why. Our humility comes from knowing who we are as sinners standing before God. Our confidence, therefore, does not come from self. Our confidence comes from Jesus. We pray humbly, understanding ourselves, but we pray confidently, as the Catechism says, because of Jesus. God will hear us. Be confident of that because of Christ. He loves you in Jesus Christ. He saves you in Jesus Christ. He sent Christ for you. Christ ascended into heaven for you because of Him. When you sit down, or at any time in the day, because that's the nature of prayer, we can pray without ceasing, because of Christ, God will hear and answer your prayer. Be confident, therefore, when you pray that God hears your prayer. It's necessary to pray, beloved. Use this sermon to encourage you in your prayer life, to be renewed in your desire to have a strong prayer life. Pray for the right reasons. Pray to show thanks. Pray to receive what you need. And pray in the right way. Pray to the true God. Pray humbly, but pray confidently in Jesus Christ. Amen.